Here, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to light this candle.
Good.
I'm going to light this candle. Because I would much rather see 100 pictures of Melania Trump naked than one picture of the current First Lady at all. And because that's the kind of guy I am. Welcome to another porno edition of Political QRM. And I can say porno edition because guess who doesn't have pants on?
Oh, God!
And it isn't me! Well, that only leaves one of us.
Oh, my God. It's not me! No, it's not! It is not me! No, I am fully clothed.
Well, my dog's not. She's laying right
okay,
here on the,
that's
my
fine.
Wheelchair.
The doggy. That's fine. The doggy, then. Okay. The dog doesn't have pants on. Jeez Louise. Oh, my God.
Oh, I didn't mean... Oh, did I cast a... Oh,
yes,
I'm sorry.
Yes, you did.
Did I make people think otherwise?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, I know. Oh, big mistake, right? Oh, yeah, that was such a mistake.
Oh, yeah. Let me get my speechwriters to go and hit the spin machine.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Like, oh, gee. And, okay, so we're back here again. It's Anne-Marie and it's Lou.
Oh, wait.
Wait.
No. Let me just get out a quick dedication. This goes out to Aunt Lorenza because she passed this morning at about 10 o'clock. And,
oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, grazie. But my mother's only surviving sibling. And so that leaves just mom, I don't know, 105, 110, I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
She didn't look a day over 125.
Okay,
so
good,
You know, but I have no idea how old she was. Honest to God, I don't.
Okay.
And she was one of the top two oldest out of the however many it was. So, you know, I don't know. She's not like Pleistocene or Cetaceous or nothing, but she's
oh,
probably. Close.
My God, not on me. Oh God.
And
God will get you for that. No.
No. Are you kidding me? She's up there laughing like hell right now. If I said
I
that.
I hope so.
But anyhow. So anyway, I got that out of the way.
Okay.
Yes, it's Lou and Anne-Marie, or Anne-Marie and Lou, depending on, you know, which politically correct way you choose to align the genders, because I don't want to seem like I'm taking a male privilege and, you know, all that other stuff.
Okay. So, this is my problem. We have people out there that are still attacking Donald Trump over this con thing. No, I'm not talking about the Star Trek episode. The quote-unquote Muslim American. How can you be a Muslim American? There is no such thing. You're not a Jewish American.
What were they, Pakistani? What were they? I don't. Be honest with you, I swear, I don't know.
I know the son
was killed in Iraq.
Yeah, I think he was killed in a helicopter crash, number one.
Oh, whatever. It doesn't matter. He's still, you know,
he's
a hero
still,
in
he's
my
still
book.
Dead.
You know.
Okay. But you know what, though? There were a bunch of things that I have. One of them I got from jihadwatch.org, Robert Spencer. And the funny thing is that he was going through another bunch of military Muslims in the military.
Mm-hmm.
Who have gone astray, to say the least. And he says, listen to this. If Donald Trump or anyone else looks upon Muslims in the U.S. military with suspicion, and I will put a link to this article, it is with good reason. Does any other demographic have as high a rate of treason as Muslims in the U.S. military? In 2003, a convert to Islam, Sergeant Hassan Akbar, murdered two of his commanding officers in Kuwait. I remember that. In 2009, Major Nidal Malik Hassan murdered 13 Americans at Fort Hood. Mm-hmm. Other than those attacks, a Muslim in the U.S. Navy discussed sniper attacks on military personnel. A Muslim U.S. naval engineer allegedly gave an Egyptian agent information on how to sink a U.S. carrier. I remember that. In 2015, a Muslim National Guard soldier in Illinois planned an Islamic State jihad attack against a military base. Last February, a U.S. Army enlistee who vowed to bring the Islamic State straight to your doorstep pleaded guilty to attempting to detonate a car bomb at Fort Riley Military Base in Kansas. Just days ago, a U.S. Air Force veteran was convicted of trying to join the Islamic State.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Then there is Then there is the U.S. Muslim who gave the Islamic State U.S. military uniforms, combat boots, tactical gear, firearms, accessories, and thousands in cash. Where are those uniforms now?
Well, you know, look, I don't want to lump Captain Khan. I don't want to lump him into that. Because as far as I know, whether it was a helicopter crash, whether it was shot down, whether it crashed, you know, whatever, you know, I don't want to lump him into that thing. And I think largely because I agree with what you said, there's no such thing as a Catholic American, a Protestant American, or a Muslim American. If he was Iraqi, or if he was Iranian, or if he was Pakistani or Afghani, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or Turkish, I get that. You know, if he was Italian or Irish or Swiss or, you know, Polish, I get that because those are nationalities. If he was, you know, Semitic, if he was, Nordic, if he was, you know, or Oriental, that, you know, or those are races, you know.
Right.
But I don't think the dividing people by the fact that they ascribe to a certain... faith path is a hyphenation, a legitimate hyphenation of American.
But
I don't want to, as I said, I don't want to lump this captain into the same group of people that you just elaborated on at all. I don't want to conflate him with traitors. You know, obvious traitors. I just don't have it at my fingertips, and I don't want to conflate him and have anybody point to you and I, as being part of some, you know, spin machine or what have you, because you know something, his dad did that for him just fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, but you realize that this man was already Khan, the father. Had already given money to the Clinton Foundation. Okay, he is part of a law firm in New York that is working to bring more Muslims.
No.
Why?
His law firm is a pay-to-play firm. Absolutely, positively, no two ways about it. But he actually, as of today, deleted his site off the internet.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yes, he took his site down. It was. Khan or what have you. And yes, it was a pay-to-play site, no two ways about it. They had donated money to the Clinton law, the Clinton family thing.
Right.
And, yeah, but, you know, I mean, you know, sort of kind of the same way as a lot of other people did. And
well, no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying here is that, you know, what they did was he brought this person, DNC brought this person up on stage, yet completely ignored and denigrated those who were killed in Benghazi. And I didn't see any other veterans' families any other military families up there.
Well, they did have the families of thugs.
That's true. Yes, they did. Yes, yes, we know. We know that. But what I'm saying here is that this man here, I mean, you know, he goes on TV last night and says, I wish people would stop, you know, giving me all this publicity and everything. Yes, and he says this while he's on a TV show, right? News TV show. I'm sorry. I'm with Donald Trump on this one. I really am. I personally, I don't think Muslims belong in our military.
No. It's not
in our intelligence community, because Islam is a culture that is out of whack with 21st century.
Yes, it's incongruent with 21st century. Absolutely positive. But the thing is, if you've got somebody who, you know, because look, face it, you know, there have been guys in the military, and I've known them.
Okay.
I've known men in our military who were the children of people like the original Black Panther Party. I've known people in our military. I mean, when I was serving, I'm not talking about, today.
I know.
I know people when I was in the military who were the sons of mafiosi. You know, I mean, I know these people.
Okay.
You know, and if you've got somebody who, you know, grew up.
So wait a minute. So you're saying that his father, well, is using
the sins
of
the father, in other words. Yeah. But
I'm not. Well, see, the thing is, we don't know.
I don't
want to
carry the sins
enough.
Of the father. But
the fact that they were at the DNC doing this, and they're trying to play the grieving family.
Well, yeah,
and they may be grieving. That's fine. They're grieving family, but they're doing it in public.
It in public, and I understand the Donald's point about, well, wasn't she allowed to speak?
Yeah.
No, I get it. Okay. I get it, and anybody who doesn't get it is part of the Massengill Mafia. You know, or subject to it, and that's all there is to it. If he had grown up in a family that had never gone anywhere near a mosque, you know, that didn't have a pay-to-play website for his attorney father bringing Muslims of whatever stripe here, if he had, you know, if his father had been a lawyer doing, you know, I don't know, copyright law, you know, somewhere, you know,
kind of
a thing, and they were secularized and they were in Western clothing and the mother had spoken and she was in Western clothing.
Well,
she wasn't, and you know, if he had been, you know, second generation, you know, or first generation,
I know,
it would be one thing. But I mean, to be of that, and I have no doubt whatsoever, mm-hmm. as to the honor of Captain Khan, I have none. No doubt, no question of his honor, because there's nothing to prove otherwise.
I'm not talking about Captain Khan.
No, but
I'm talking about the father.
And therein lies the rub, because mm-hmm. they had that going on, and they had the mothers of thugs going on, and all these things that, you know, how's the scripture go? Let he who has an eye to see and an ear to hear? Mm-hmm. If you're not seeing it and you're not hearing it, you don't have the eyes and ears, in which case, stay the hell out of the polls.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
And stay the hell out of my country.
Yeah, I agree. This has gotten to the point where you have McCain coming out and speaking against Donald Trump. This is fantastic because, I mean, you know, you just got Donald Trump a whole bunch of votes down in Arizona because there are people down there that can't stand McCain as it is.
Well, he did lose one primary challenger. I don't remember the fellow's name. He lost one of the primary challengers, bowed out.
Okay.
On Thursday or Friday, one of the primary challengers bowed out. So that leaves only two left in the primary against him.
There's a very strong woman in there who's against him. I can't remember her name. I think it's either something Kelly or Kelly Ward or something like that. Can't remember. I don't know. But she...
Well, as long as it's not Ward Kelly. I mean, wasn't that the Native American that wanted to bring down the United States?
Oh, God. I don't know. No, but the thing... So I see, wait a minute, hang on, real quick. I see that on Drudge, Condoleezza law firm website that specializes in Muslim immigration. Isn't that nice?
Okay. Well, it's just a coincidence. It's got to be.
Coincidence.
Somebody must have hacked his server. Maybe it was Trump and Putin.
Yeah, that's true. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. You know, Putin, darn it, he's at it again. My God, this man, what is wrong with him? That's disgusting.
You know, look. you know, you want to carry this off to another extreme? Let me give you another example.
Go ahead.
I saw on Breitbart today, Howard Dean says that Iran is not a Muslim country.
I know. Oh, my God. Well, you know, has he been walking around like in downtown Springfield where there are a lot of druggies? Because I know, because I used to drive through there when I used to work. I mean, really.
Yeah, Capitol Heights and
no, I'm sorry. He's up in Vermont. Isn't he up in Vermont again? Or is he down in D.C.? But, you know, I'm thinking, what is wrong with this man? Is he still doing the shriek? Jeez.
I don't know, but he says that Iran is not a Muslim nation. And it's something else. And Saudi Arabia is our ally?
Oh, my gosh.
Technically speaking, you know, everybody will tell you that Saudi Arabia is our ally. I don't buy into it, but, what they tell you. Because on paper, technically on paper, they are indeed our ally.
Right.
But it's not a Muslim nation, and it has nothing to do with Islam. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Spin.
Oh, wait a minute. I mean, you know, let's go with the other one too. Like, you want to talk about real stupid comments today? I mean,
there's a shortage.
It's no shortage. I swear to God, there's no shortage today. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you know, not only are there really, really stupid, comments by our politicians, but the good old Pope Francis, he strikes again. His latest quote is, "It's not fair to identify Islam with violence. It's not fair, and it's not true."
Know, this is starting to really, you know, this is starting to really get. Amory, look, stop me, please, because.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't know how anybody walking around with eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and fingers on the ends of their hand, on the ends of their hands, that can turn around and argue this point at all. I mean, from any logical, any intellectual, any rational, any...
You are correct,
people,
my friend. Yes.
If you don't get it, you're not going to. In which case, God bless you, you've been touched by the hands of the gods, because you gotta be what the Native Americans used to would not scalp you, you know, kind of a person. You can't possibly be paying enough attention. Look, if attention was dynamite, you couldn't blow a firecracker. This is just no longer open to conjecture.
I know. I don't know if the Pope is smoking something. I really don't. I honest to God.
I think they're putting something in his wine.
Honestly, they must. I mean, for him to actually say that. And in Belgium, get a load of this. A Muslim migrant stabbed a priest who let him in to use his shower. What's happening in a lot of these small towns now, you have people knocking on the doors of citizens and asking them, can I take a shower here?
Mm-hmm.
And when they say no, they're actually getting angry and saying, well, we should be allowed in there to take a shower. We need a shower. It's like, what?
I can't imagine them desiring to take a shower. Second of all.
Yeah, well, he's standing there, yeah. He asked him for money then, and the priest said no, and then he stabbed him. Wait a minute, Belgium authorities are saying they don't think it's terror-related. Okay, again, you want to repeat that thing? That comment you made about the ears and the eyes and the... Well, let me just tell you, Islam is terror. Does anybody realize that? Islam uses terror to advance their culture. And that's the way it is. There is no other way.
And they're allowed to use everything. They're allowed to use guile. They're allowed to shave. They're allowed to drink alcohol.
Yes.
They're allowed to, you know, they're allowed to smoke tobacco.
They can go against the basic
anything they have to do.
Yes. they can go against the basic tenets of Islam if the final goal is to advance Islam.
That's right.
There you go.
And they still got 72 virgin sheep waiting for them.
God in heaven, those poor sheep.
Well, no, I mean,
this keeps going on and on and on now. I mean, it's just getting a little ridiculous. And it's like, people, come on, stop.
Well, you know, it's Germany is in serious trouble.
Wait a minute. We got to make this stupid quote day. We really do. This is the show, folks, is going to be about stupid statements, comments, and whatever by people around the world. I think we've just done, let's see, we've done Howard Dean, we've done the Pope. Who else?
Oh, we didn't get to Johnson.
Yeah, we did that last time.
You remember him? No, you remember the guy who did the Guam thing?
Yeah, I know. He said the thing about the termites.
Oh, okay. All right.
We did that. We did that last.
Remember we covered
that's
that.
Okay. We go. We keep. Yeah.
Yeah. Israelis are like termites. Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, Obama. There's one out by Obama today.
Well, he's a daily thing. Him and Biden are the gifts that keep on giving.
Well, his latest thing is Trump is unfit. He's woefully unprepared for presidency. This from the guy who had 2 years in the Senate, before that was a community organizer, right? And he says that the Republicans have to enough.
I get a hoot out of how many of these people on either side of the aisle have never had a real job. And you know, but I mean, here I love the fact that Biden had something to say about Melania Trump plagiarizing part of her speech. Which, by the way, we found out that the speechwriter who wrote it for Michelle Obama got it from some posters in the mall.
What? I never heard that.
Yeah, there were the posters in the mall, those platitude posters in the mall. That's what the guy uses as motivation. I mean, what is he? Before he wrote speeches for Michelle Obama, what did he work for? Hallmark Cards or something?
Oh, my God, really?
And so that you can't plagiarize and plagiarize, whatever.
Oh, okay.
I don't care, man, woman, or otherwise. Come on, I'm not like that. I don't give a shit who you are. If you're stupid, you're stupid. If you're stonad, you're stonad. If you're strunz, you're strunz.
Yeah, okay.
You're
jidrul,
you're jidrul. I don't get it. I'm not a feminist. I'm not a... What's the new one? Meninist?
What?
Okay, meninist.
Another stupid comment. Who the heck thought that up? What's a meninist?
It's a... it's on the internet. You Google it. Meninist. And it's like a masculine version of feminist. An anti-feminist male. Meninist. Anyway, you know, I mean, I don't care. I'm not any of those above. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, but then again, I'm straight, so I don't know none of this stuff.
Oh,
right?
it's a mockery of feminism.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
But anyway, so Biden criticizes Melania Trump for plagiarizing. Wait a minute. Who was censured back in the 80s?
Oh, yeah.
For plagiarism in, like, academic documents? Melania Trump? No.
Nope.
Speaking.
Yeah.
Of Melania Trump.
Yes.
I would rather see 100,000. You know me. We've talked about this on air, off air, and otherwise. And the rest of the people who listen to this, and people who maybe listen to it the first time, I have never willingly, knowingly, once or twice by accident, but I have never willingly, knowingly been on a pornographic website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Neither have I.
I've been very proud to say that. In the meantime.
Well.
I would rather look at 100,000 pictures of Melania Trump, especially since, look, this wasn't those kind of pictures. Oh, I was young, I was in college, I needed money, you know, and they brought in this German Shepherd, and, you know, none of that stuff. You know, these are art pictures, these are advertising pictures, these are, you know, erotic pictures, yes, but... I'd rather look at 100,000 pictures of her.
Well, let me tell you something. The way the New York Post is going, you may get that wish of 100,000.
Then one picture of Michelle Obama getting on or off Air Force One.
Now, wait a minute. I honestly thought that you were going to say Hillary Clinton. Right?
Well, you never have to worry about Hillary Clinton. Oh, she dresses up in $12,500 Hoover vacuum cleaner bags.
I know.
Or maybe it's not, I may have that wrong. It may not be a Hoover vacuum cleaner bag, but maybe it's the curtains from the funeral home down there in Union Township. I don't remember which, but they sent them to Salvation Army because they needed new ones.
That was a horrible outlet. Outfit, $12,000 for that piece.
$12,500. It looked like a Hoover vacuum cleaner bag.
Actually, it looked like something that Chairman Mao would wear for a banquet. I swear to God.
Well, maybe that's it.
Maybe that's it. I think she gets the inspiration.
Maybe it's Kim Jong Dong's. Maybe he's one of them. You know, kind of goes both ways, and he emptied out his closet, and she got it. I don't know. Maybe Dennis Rodman brought it back and said, "Here, honey, this don't fit me.
You never know.
This is her size. It don't fit me. You know, kind of. Well, you know, he's into wedding dresses. You know, down."
Jeez, God, that was a long time ago.
Doesn't matter when it was. The thing is, he showed up, you know, I mean, the guy's got more holes in his nose than, you know, I know some people were pierced up pretty good, you know.
Sure.
He's got more holes in his nose than most of those people got in their entire bodies, you know. So, hey, look, everybody's got their eccentricity. You know, everybody's got their eccentricity. You know, I've got mine. I have absolutely no idea what it is, but I've got mine. And I'm sure you've got one, too, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure, too.
I think my whole thing is that I have to make my gravy absolutely perfect
every time.
I think I get OCD over my gravy. But other than that,
this is mine, I guess. I want a clean and orderly house, and I don't get it, and I'm constantly going nuts. So that's me. I'm always on the edge.
Well, you know what? No. I'll tell you something now. You know, we've talked about this off air. You know, we can talk. No, we can talk about it now because everybody listening is our friends, and we can share with anybody.
Yeah.
You know what? I know that we were talking about the fall. You know, we were going to make a trip and this, that, and the other thing. And we're going to just talk about it. You know, I think I'm going to scratch that. I think what I'm going to do is, especially since, you know, we only have one car and I can't drive anyway, so it doesn't much matter. You know, but you guys got two cars. You know, you could take, you come up here. If you're that way about the house, come up here and
That's not what I'm talking about. I just like an orderly house. That's
well, you could take care of that for me too.
Oh, no, it's not orderly. It is orderly. I mean, you know, but I have to scream, holler, yell, stamp my foot, throw things, you know.
So we all have an eccentricity here.
So that's my eccentricity.
You know, I mean, look.
So you're still going to scratch the trip? Hey, what? Yeah, I know. I don't have any on. It's completely clear, all right? Okay? No, no nail polish on.
Well, then they're not chipped. There you go.
Exactly.
Well, if you want to keep them looking like that, you better put polish on them.
Well, that...
Or they'll break. I'm telling you.
You're painting my butt. Look at this.
You notice I don't have any on?
Yeah, I know.
Well?
I hope not.
See? Look, I ain't got no mascara on, do I?
No, you never do.
Well, I told you I gotta go do my hair and makeup before we go on the air, you know.
Why?
Well...
You look fine.
Yeah, well, I didn't do my hair and makeup.
You're a guy. Me, I look like hell. I've been...
Yeah, well, look at this. I got enough baggage under. I'm like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. I could make a left turn at Albuquerque with these bags under my eyes.
Poor Luke's got to get some sleep.
Sleep? What the hell is that? To sleep for chance to dream. Yeah. Everybody's got their idiosyncrasy, sweetheart. Everybody.
That's true. I know. And I agree. That's life, you know?
Hillary's is dressing up like a vacuum cleaner bag. You know, other than that. You know, and Barbara Bush was for posing for pictures on a dollar bill. You know, everybody's got a, you know.
Oh, God.
Like George Washington, you know, tonight I'm posing for my picture on a dollar bill, my fucking free, my dangin' up, you know. I break out into Lou Monty every once in a while. Random, folks. It's okay. But, you know. Please, Mr. Columbus, turn the ship around. Hey, Pachacaloup.
Do you know that's an actual name?
Pachacaloup, yeah. You remember, was Paul Revere Italian? No, but his horse was, you know. Pachacaloup and Paul began to ride. You know, hey, you know. They pulled up to a tavern and the horse, he went inside.
Go ahead.
Paul went in. Upstairs and in a bed, eating a pepperoni with an ice pack on his head. Hey, get up, a bunch of loop, cried Paul Revere. Hey, you know, Lou Monty, look, he was a celebrity, but he was a patriot. Lou Monty was a patriot. He was a Mitigan, he wanted to be a Mitigan, and he said, yeah. All you people may remember him for Pepito the Italian Mouse and Dominic the Donkey. You know, but we all realize is he's got, you know, 18 albums with 300,000 songs. He's a genuine talent. From Lyndhurst, by the way.
Really? I didn't realize he was from Lyndhurst. I thought he was from, like, New York.
Yeah. He did the Italian Huckabuck. And the end of it was, are you from Lyndhurst? Yeah, he was a Lyndhurst boy.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's Hudson County. I guess Hudson County or Bergen County?
Hudson County. No, it's not Bergen. That's Hudson. I
don't remember where the line is.
Wait a minute. Where is it? Where is Lyndhurst next?
When you go east of Newark, you go into Kearney, right? And then you go from Kearney, you go to North Arlington. From North Arlington, you go to Lyndhurst.
Hudson County.
All right.
Hey, do you know what I think? You know they got really bad rain in New Jersey? I got to bring this up. And I heard the familiar words, find an alternate route, Tunnelly Avenue is flooded.
Tunnelly Avenue, Kennedy
is flooded.
Flooded. 17 flooded through Moonaki there. You know, Hasbrook Heights gone, Tenafly gone, Tina gone. You know.
Find an alternate route. I like that. I was like, because I do listen to Joe Piscopo in the morning. All right.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
Oh my God, I love him because for some reason the WRKO morning show has this thing with Donald Trump and this military family on. In their brain, they can't get over it, and it's getting a little bit ridiculous. But so I switch over to Joe Piscopo, and then, you know, they give because it's nice. It's nice to listen to
him. Well, Joe's a Joe is a Jersey guy.
Yes, he is, and he still lives in New Jersey. And
well, does he?
Yes, he does.
Good.
He still lives in Jersey, and it's just right now he's on vacation, but he's funny. Everything, and he brings up a lot of Italian stuff. It's great, Lou. You have to listen to him. You do.
Well, I get it. I get a certain amount of News 12 New Jersey, which is
No.
I don't get a chance. In the mornings, there's a couple of things I do, and one of them, I go to News 12 New Jersey because I got a hijacked feed through one of the Roku channels.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
And I watch Jim G. Weather, and I watch, you know, who used to do the traffic was Cara DeFalco. She's got an Italian cooking show. Mm-hmm. Cute little thing. But anyway, so I watch that, and I get the weather, I get the news, I get the traffic, and I watch the traffic, and it's like, oh, yeah, the helix for the Lincoln Tunnel right now is a little messed up. We got a little too much rain going on here, you know, and the T-neck and stuff is all underwater. The Tunnelly Avenue, Bergen Line Boulevard, Kennedy Boulevard.
Yeah, you hear all that, and it's like,
So yeah, and then MacArthur Highway and all this. So, you know, but I get a kick out of it, too, but... Dave got it pretty bad down there, and we do have listeners in New Jersey. I know we do. And we also have Jersey people, including in places like San Diego, or Metro San Diego, who listen to us. So they get a kick out of when we talk about stuff like this, too. And I know some of the other people don't. But in the meantime, just to stay topical for some of us, you know, when we hear this stuff, when we talk about, you know, the parkway, and we talk about, you know, which exit, and we talk about, you know, the Tunnelly Avenue, we talk about Birkenline Avenue, you know, we talk about all these things, people understand, and they get it. And they have been hit with such bad, and it's weird because it this last few days, it's hit North Jersey hard.
Right.
You know, Sussex, Bergen, Hudson, mm-hmm. right? And then it hit Ocean, Monmouth, and stuff, and now it's down in Salem and Cape May and Atlantic. You know, I mean, and they've been really getting hammered. I mean, I can't get Debbie's got to go outside and water the tomatoes.
Yeah, I know, you know. I know that happened here also, but for some reason we lucked out. We're in a severe drought up here. We are 7 to 10 inches below where we should be. And since I'm on a well, and many of us are on wells around here, we're all, you know, chewing our fingernails, you know,
well,
and
no,
cutting back on water usage.
We're under, it has rained here, and I get it, you know. We're going to move on in a minute. But we're in a spot where, because of the big lake, it goes around us. Mm-hmm. It goes either to the north or it goes to the south of us for some reason. And we're sitting here, and yeah, it rains, but it's like, you know, we haven't had a decent thunderstorm. You know, we had one, you know, that's it. So, but, you know, so we do have drought conditions. There's no two ways about it. You know, and we're actually thinking about flying Al Gore in to do some sort of rain dance with Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, okay.
You know, and end it.
And end it.
All right, so much for our local weather, but...
I want to get back to this thing on Obama because, you know, he stands there at a press conference and has the nerve.
Which thing? Narrow it down.
Huh?
It's a which thing? He's the gift that keeps on giving. Which thing about Obama?
Oh, my God. The thing with Obama where he says that Trump is unprepared, unfit to be president, and that the Republicans have to say enough about this. And, you know, I really... find it completely amazing, since this man, you know, again, I have to say, is such an idiot. And he had absolutely no idea what it would be to be president. I mean, considering he's never, ever held a job in his life. So basically what he's saying is that Trump's bombastic nature makes him unprepared to be president. Heck, I think in this day and age, Trump's bombastic nature is exactly what we need, you know?
Mm. So, well, let me say, you know, I mean, I just got deja vu all over again.
Uh-oh.
About, you know, Obama saying that, you know, he's not qualified to be president, etc. I look at it, and I think to myself, you know, the first lady says, well, every morning I wake up, you know, in... you know, a house built by slaves. Yeah, well, every morning I wake up in a mess built by your husband, lady.
Yep, exactly.
You know, I mean, talking a call in the kettle. But I don't care if Donald Trump is or is not qualified to be president. I really, honestly, God, at this point, I don't care if he's qualified.
Well, you know,
he's
what?
Better than any other option we've got.
What does qualified mean? I mean, what? What qualifications do we need? I think that loving this country and all it stands for, wanting to govern this country according to the Constitution, which is what he wants to do, make this country economically strong, militarily strong, secure our borders. Well, gee, sounds like an American to me. Sounds like a person who's very qualified to be president.
Well, how qualified do you have to be? Andrew Jackson was essentially illiterate.
I know. It's ridiculous. I mean, I just don't understand. You know, what are these? No, I think qualification means to these people that they go...
You got to be a lawyer on the inside.
You got to be a lawyer, number one. Number two, you have to have a political background that is as long as your arm. That's what this is about.
You got to be establishment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, insider.
Yes. That's what this is all about. And Trump is not an insider. There is a YouTube video that I'm also going to post the link to. It's about Trump. And it's throughout the years, the comments that he has said about America's economy, America's defense. And I'll tell you, they really haven't wavered too much.
Well, but the thing is, there are people out there posting exactly that, YouTube videos, and they're posting YouTube videos of him with this person,
I think this one was actually put out by the campaign. It's about 25 minutes, and it's really good, and it's interesting. It's interesting.
Well, there's also
on television shows him being interviewed by Oprah, being interviewed by a blast from the past, Rona Barrett. Remember her?
Oh my God, Rona Barrett.
Yes.
Oh my God, Rona Barrett. Yes, yeah. She's one of our own.
Yeah. And I mean, just a whole bunch of people, and all the way up to today.
We've got an aunt in my family that we refer to as Aunt Rona, and it's because of Rona Barrett.
Oh, geez, Louise. Oh my God.
But they keep releasing these other videos and these other clips and these other GIFs and these other sound bites about, you know, where he said something that's actually counter his, his current, shtick, you know, where he says something, you know, negative about, you know, the country, where he says something negative about the economy, where he says something negative about, you know, the president or what have you, where he says something positive about Putin, or he says something positive about, you know, and I get it, but you know something, everybody grows. How come if it's on the left and we say, well, you know, we've evolved.
Exactly.
But on the right, you're not allowed to evolve.
That's right. But
you know, you're not allowed to mature, you're not allowed to grow, you're not allowed to see the error of your ways in the past and build upon the foundation of failure and this whole thing with the bankruptcies. And he's had businesses go bankrupt. Yeah. And they do the math. Somebody did the math, and it's like five companies out of 515 or something. There's a 98.6, percent success rate.
Well, let me put you this way.
Hillary, you had one marriage and you blew it. That's a zero for one.
Does anybody succeed 100% at everything that they try in their lives?
Well,
does anybody? Shut up. No, you come on. Nobody succeeds 100%, for heaven's sake.
No. You're
so this
absolutely
is it.
Right.
I'm
only at 99% because I had two failed marriages. But other than that.
There you go. See? Okay. So, it just stands to reason with as many businesses as he has.
Hundreds.
That some of them are not going to work out because each new business, no matter where it is an experiment.
And you got a garden.
Yes. Yes.
When you plant everything in the spring.
Right.
Does everything grow?
No, exactly. Exactly. That's what it's like. Yes. That's right.
And when you get to next spring. When you're ready to plant your garden. Do you not remember what didn't work last year?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yep.
So and you I don't make... plant that again.
Exactly, or I make corrections, you know,
Or you amend the soil, you say, oh, this one needs more lime, oh, this one needs more eggshells, this one needs more coffee grounds, this one needs more milk, whatever. You learn.
Yes, exactly. So this is, I know, people just do that. And, you know, I had somebody say that to me, and I just tore their head off. And I asked them, I said, tell me your last big success in life, or tell me all your failures. And then they kind of open their mouth and they shut it and they turn away.
If there was no such thing as failure in life, priests would be out of business.
You're not kidding.
Or at least on Friday afternoons, they'd be out of business.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true.
You know, they could build the next couple of churches, cathedrals, and basilicas, and they could just leave the confessionals out because they wouldn't need them no more. Mm-hmm. You know, if nobody made mistakes.
That's true. Hey, listen.
Pencils wouldn't have erasers on them if nobody made mistakes.
That's right. There wouldn't be whiteout. God. Boy,
white out. Erase this. Listen to us. Come on, let's take the FBI. We're going on a back
chair. We dating ourselves. Oh my gosh.
Oh, somebody put a picture of a cassette tape and a pencil and says, hunk, if you know what this means.
Wait a minute, how about an 8-track, for heaven's sake?
Oh, not on an 8-track. Did you ever open one and try and repair
yes,
it? With the tape? The Radio Shack used to sell the little gizmo, the little gumazigami, you put the tape in there and you you just splice it, you know, and then it would go ka-chunk twice on every song instead of just one, you know. 8-track tapes. Oh, my own. 8-track tapes, cassette tapes, and 5.5-inch discs, or 5.25, I'm sorry, 5.25-inch floppies. Well, I tell you what, I go back to the day. I go back to the day when they were 8-inch floppies.
On what?
The old computers used to use, before there was 5.25s and 3.5s. They were like the 5.25s. You remember the flat? You remember what they were?
Yeah.
Floppy? They called them floppy because they were floppy.
Because they're floppy, yes, exactly.
Yeah. But the 8-inch ones were what happened way before. They weren't in personal computers. They were in, they were in personal computers, but that's in the day when a personal computer was the size of your dresser.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that kind of thing. But that's way back, way, way back, when there was, you know, when the only kind of people who existed were troglodytes and early IT people. So...
Let's get back. Okay.
Let's get back to the fact that Commissioner Bratton is resigning.
Jeez. Now I understand there's been a little bit of a questionable activity by him. Questionable? What has he done, Mr. Bratton? He's been a bad boy.
Questionable? Yeah, he's been a bad boy. He wants law, order, justice, truth, justice, the American way, and Bill de Blasio can't handle that.
Yeah, I know. Well, the thing is with Bill Bratton, what they're saying is that... by the way, they say that Trump threw a crying baby out of his rally. I don't know.
Good.
I read that.
Good for Donald. If I needed one more thing to push me over the limit to vote for him, he just did it.
Yeah. But I don't like what the Post says. The New York Post says that he is going to be going to a cushy private sector job with a firm that has close ties to the Clintons.
You know something? I'm not, you know something? Listen, God bless him. He's holding up. You don't got to worry about nothing.
Yeah, I know.
He did what he needed to do for us, for you, for me, for America, for New York City, a long time ago.
Yeah, no, a long time ago he did. But
so let him take a nice cushy job. I don't care who's paying.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm just saying. I think that, you know, let me ask you a question. Let me just say this. I dislike the Clintons immensely. And if I had a choice, if God gave me a choice and said, Anne Marie, you can either have a dinner party and you can either have Hillary Clinton there or Satan. Guess, just take a wild guess. Who do you think would pick?
You know what? It would. If you had to choose, it would be me, not Clinton.
Okay.
Hello,
Beelzebub. How are you? Yes, Lucifer. Yeah. Okay.
Lucifer. No, that's right. You've heard the story about Lucifer, me and Lucifer. You've heard that, right?
Yeah. I would definitely pick Satan. I really would, because you know what? I know where he's coming from.
Who's coming to your dinner party? Who could it be? Could it be Clinton?
Church lady.
Even church lady would rather have Satan than Clinton.
I know. Ooh, get back on track here. So he's leaving. And, you know what? I really don't... I think one of the real reasons is because he doesn't really appreciate de Blasio's...
Come on, look at de Blasio. Come on, look at this commie.
Well, you know what? He's not even Italian, for God's sake.
Oh! He's such a chamook. I mean, he's a fachi, man. He's like, you know...
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, like Bob Grant used to say... You know, he's
an idiot. Let's start with idiot and go up.
You know what? I'll tell you something. Idiots look at him and go, damn! You know, he's a complete, total, antithetical.
I don't know what they thought of, what they really thought of New Yorkers voting for him. Seriously, I don't know what was in their heads.
I think it had to do with the fact the Occupy movement and the liberal sympathies because of the Occupy movement, and then of course the election took place, and that was November, and then they didn't start actually throwing the Occupy people, you know, into paddy wagons and taking them the hell out of there until, you know, the end of November, beginning of December. I think it had a lot to do with the sentiments of New Yorkers everywhere, Soho, you know, South of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Upper West Side, you know, kind of thing. I think that's where the votes came from. And he got in. I, the Upper East Side said, doesn't matter to us. We just have our limos bring us here and mm-hmm. bring us out. You know,
right.
We don't care. That's all, of course, limousine liberals voted for him. You know,
Oh, they voted for him, definitely. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how it worked. I mean, that was the year of Occupy. And,
true.
I think that's how it happened. I think that even the people, I think even the Occupy people, when his term is up, are going to go, no.
I don't know. I it's at the point now where you look at New York City and you say, is it too far gone?
No, because I think de Blasio has actually brought shame and disgrace to Black Lives Matter and the Occupy movement. I think he's just so far gone, even they won't vote for him. You know, he's just so far removed from, you know, I mean, he's like Governor Moonbat from the People's Republic of California.
Moonbeam.
I mean, Moonbeam, Moonbat, Moon, you know, Rat, I don't know, you know, Jerry Brown, I mean, looks at him and goes, damn, you know. He's that far gone. I mean, he's like, if he didn't have, you know, biracial kids, his credibility would be out the window.
Yeah.
You know, this guy makes Cuomo look like a Republican.
Oh, definitely. Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I mean, either Cuomo doesn't, you know. He makes Teddy Kennedy look like, Pope John the 23rd. I mean, you know, he just...
Oh, really? Oh, God.
You know, this guy is that far gone.
You're stretching it. You're really stretching that one.
All right, maybe I'm stretching it, but it didn't break. I'm telling you, this guy is a complete...
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Loser, this guy is like, he's like that Johnson clown who said Guam's going to tip over. He's like Maxine Waters. He's like Sheila Jackson Lee. He's like Pelosi. I mean, this guy is... And they all get together in the caucus and look at him and go, damn!
Yeah.
You know... That's how bad this guy is.
Well, de Blasio, too, you know, I mean, he doesn't like America either. He's another one.
He doesn't like America, he doesn't like cops, he doesn't like Wall Street, he doesn't like South Street, he doesn't like, you know, he doesn't like Battery Park,
but
he doesn't like any of it.
He's making a bunch of bucks being the mayor of New York City. So when he leaves, he's going to be, you know, living the high life. So
when he leaves, he's gonna move. He's gonna move to Long Island, and you know he's gonna be just fine.
Yeah, you think so?
Him and his kids who still go. Yeah, him and his kids who go to. Do you think they go to PS 111? No,
oh,
they go.
Oh gosh,
to,
no.
You know.
No. You know, and he's got
to
tell
his
son
school.
To be careful out there because with the cops. Like, yeah, right. Okay, fine. Yeah.
You know, like his son would ever be walking around anywhere in New York City with a hoodie. You know, no, his kid goes place to place in a limo.
Exactly.
You know, tell a limo driver, be careful where you take my kid, because your kid ain't going nowhere by himself.
That's right. Listen, there was a rumor by one of the whistleblowers out of NSA, William Binney, who worked there for 30 years.
Wait, old man Binney's boy?
Huh?
Old man Benny's boy? Still?
No. No. Wrong Benny.
Okay.
Well, anyway, he said that NSA most likely has Hillary's 30,000
yes.
Emails.
Actually, I thought he said they definitely had.
Now
it's down to most likely.
I don't know. To me, it's...
So when's his funeral?
Yeah, I know. He's going to be... Yeah. Yeah. I don't agree with Bill Binney. I really don't. I understand he, you know, 30 years with the agency, he turned whistleblower, but I don't know why he did it. He resigned in 2001 and it was right after 9/11. Being a former employee there, I have to wonder why he did it. And people keep trying to lump him and Snowden in the same...
I don't think so. I don't think that's the truth.
No, that is not the case. They keep trying to lump them in the same group.
I know that.
It's not.
Well, you know, who's trying to lump them in that group? You know, the fifth column.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say fifth column? I meant fourth estate.
Fourth estate, yeah. But the thing is...
Oh, well, that's kind of interchangeable.
Right. But anyway, he says that they have 30,000 emails of Hillary Clinton's, and I think, sure, go ahead, release them or give them to the FBI. No, on second thought, don't give them the FBI, because what they will do is they will probably, accidentally, on purpose, lose them. Oops. But I want to see what they are. So release
them. There
are
a half
a
dozen.
Stop talking.
You know this as well as I do. There are half a dozen bars on M Street.
Mm-hmm.
Where people
go to
talk.
Capitol Grill, my, for God's sake, yeah.
I've been to some of the bars on M Street.
Uh-huh.
You know, look, it's kind of like walking into, it's kind of like walking into a bar on Mulberry Street. You know what you're going to see when you walk in the door?
Right.
You walk into M Street, you know, any of the bars on M Street, whether it's all the way up, and I mean all the way up from D.C. proper down into Georgetown, I mean, telling you, you walk into those bars and you know what you're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to, you know, in Little Italy, you're going to see wise guys. You know, and on M Street, you're going to see people. NSA, CIA, FBI, you know, DS.
You're not going to see NSA DIA. People because we're too far away. We're all the way at Fort George G. Meade up in
Fort George Meade. Yes, I've been to George G.
Yeah.
I know that. And there's people from Quantico, too. But in the meantime, They all travel in and out and out and in and Crystal City and, you know, McLean and everywhere else.
Right.
I mean, and I remember walking into a bar and this is going to sound weird. I know you're going to understand it, but people who know the D.C. area, I'm going to tell you, Capitol Heights, Maryland, you know, which is, let's call it an underclass neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I walked into a bar 200 yards from a Motel 6 where I was very happy that I had a gun with me.
Yeah, one time Barry and I took a wrong turn into Anacostia. It was not nice. I'm yelling at
I was on a road trip.
The windows. Go ahead.
I was going down to see Eagle Genie down in Central Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been on the road all day. I had worked all day and then been on the road, and it got to be late, and I pulled in. I had pulled through D.C., and I said, I can't do it. You know, past Alexandria, I had to go, and I wasn't anywhere near there, but I wanted to get there fresh in the morning, so I stopped in Capitol Heights, Maryland. And I pulled in, you know, come on, you know, I mean, I listen to commercials. I used to listen to AM radio, you know, so I come on, Tom Baudette, and we're going to leave the light on for you. So I looked for a Motel 6. I found one.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into the door, and it was surrounded by bulletproof plexiglass, 4 inches thick, all the way around the office. And I'm like, okay, you know, I need a room. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. You know, it's Friday. Yeah. Are you sure you don't want to go, you know, 20 miles? No, I don't. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I need gas. I need to. And the guy said, okay, you know, that'll be, you know, $23. And I'm like, okay, you know, and I gave him, you know, I don't know, $220s or whatever. And he had to go in the back to make change, you know, and brought it out and put it in the slot and, you know, kind of a thing. You know, and I said, what's the big deal? He said, well, it's Friday night. This neighborhood, you know, between, you know, hookers and welfare and, you know, well, okay, you know, I don't care. And he says, you don't care? I said, no. And I opened up my jacket and he says, oh, you don't care? I said, no, I don't. You know, it's so, I went in and I tried to get some sleep, which I actually did, actually, believe it or not. I actually slept fairly well with gunfire going on, so...
Jeez!
You know, and screams and shit. I just kind of passed right out, you know, so... But anyway, so... But there I was in Capitol Heights, Maryland, and I got up, and I said, you know what? I need a drink. And I right. said to the guy behind all the plexiglass, where can I get a drink? He says, not here. I said, no, but where can I... He said, no.
He was trying to be your friend.
He says, listen, he says, just, you know, he says, take your car, go up, turn around, come back. On the other side of the highway, there's a gin joint. And I said, okay, fine. That's all I need is a gin joint. I don't need, you know, Don's 21. You know, I just need a gin joint. You know, okay, fine. So I went and I turned around and I went in there. And I went from this Motel 6 full of welfare crack, you know, stuff going on, gunfire and screams and, you know, all this other stuff. So this joint is this little Dewdrop Inn looking joint with all these people in $1,000 suits and $200 ties and...
Really?
Oh my God, I walked in the door and I thought, what the hell is these? What are all these mafiosi doing? I said, wait a minute, these people are Mitigani. These ain't no mafiosi. They got like blonde hair and blue eyes and red hair and, you know, what's going on here? There was something going on. I don't know what it was, but a lot of people walking around with earpieces in their ears, you know, so, I digress, you know, no choice about it.
Yes, you do, you digress.
You know, but that's, you know, I'm known for that. You know, but the idea is that, look, whether or not this fellow, you know, actually left the agency in 2001 or whether he left the agency in January 2016 is moot. You know they talk. You know they all maintain, you know, certain ties. You know they all have their, people inside, outside, you know.
Yeah, I know. They can always get in touch with somebody and learn exactly what's going on. You know, they can. Because I know people who have. If they have the 30,000 emails, I want them to release them. I really do. I think, and what he thinks is it's somebody who can't stand the Clintons. That's why they got a hold of them. Which is a pretty big list, you know, of people who can't stand the Clintons. So I hope that they are released because...
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so. You know something? Listen, I don't care if they turn around and say, well, you know, we have 30,000 worth of 30,000 emails from Donald Trump. Go ahead, bring them.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. Because I want a level playing field.
Yes.
And if you can bring to the table, you know, verifiable emails saying this, that, or the other thing from Donald Trump, and you bring to the table verifiable emails about this, that, or the other thing from Hillary Clinton, good, more information is better. Bring it.
Yeah.
Bring it, whether it's on Melania or Ivana or Ivanka or the kids or whether, I don't care. But we'll leave the kids out of it because don't forget, Chelsea Clinton, you know, the nation's first cabbage patch town, was hands off. She was the first presidential candidate child or what have you that they turned and said, thou shalt not, with Chelsea Clinton.
Yeah, I remember that.
And in that case, then you have to ask the same thing about the Trump campaign. Don't bring in the kid. Even though they're adults. And you know, she still looks like a cabbage patch kid.
Chelsea Clinton?
Yeah.
Yeah, she does.
I haven't seen the babies that they've thrown, but I bet you they look the same thing.
Well, the thing about Chelsea Clinton is that, seriously, you want to talk about a life that has been, everything's been handed to her. Now, you could say the same thing about Ivanka or Eric or Donald, but I don't think so. You can say that,
disagree
with you, because they have actually worked. They have sat in the office. They have gone out on construction sites. And as you heard, I believe it was Eric Trump say that he knows how to, you know, drive a caterpillar,
yep,
you know, work machine, you know.
Listen, I worked for...
So it's like, you know, I mean, these people have actually gotten out there and got down and dirty. You know, she has. Chelsea Clinton never has.
She got out of college and she got a $650,000. Yes. Now she makes $900.
Exactly.
For a job where, what does she
Nothing.
Do?
Well, yeah, exactly. So it's like she's, you know what she is? She's
and her husband runs a hedge fund?
Yeah, I know. She's another version of Caroline Kennedy. Remember when Caroline Kennedy went in front of the Senate committee to be vetted for ambassador to Japan? Mm-hmm. And it turns out she knew absolutely nothing about Japan. That's what she was. She was just one. She's just like
Shirley Temple was better qualified.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's true. Yeah, to be, what was it? Was it Ghana?
Ghana.
Yeah, it was Ghana.
And also she was special envoy to the Dalai Lama, you know. Mm. I wish I was there. I would love to hear her say hello, Dolly.
she did. She would. But no, seriously. But
no. Listen, I worked for back in the 80s.
Here we go. We're diverting again.
Okay. No, we're not diverting. This is important. This is germane. Trust me. I worked for a family-owned.
Yes.
Electrical supply house in New Jersey in the 80s. Back in the days when I used to shop at Banana Republic.
Okay.
You know, before it was Gap, back in the days when I walk into Banana Republic and they said, hello, you know, what can we interest you in? And they had my sizes in their head in Short Hills Mall. Okay. Debbie worked for the largest privately, quote unquote, privately, it was family owned custom packaging company in New Jersey. And believe it or not, they were actually, you know, about half a mile apart. And yes, they had their offspring working there. But every single one of those offspring started out in some low department, emptying waste baskets and vacuuming the carpets and then moving up to, you know, secretarial and moving up to sales and moving up to customer service and moving up to, you know, IT or moving up to... And this is how it was. They all worked their way up in the company from the bottom, not saying, okay, well, I'm going to bring you on as my administrative assistant. No, from the bottom.
Yes. No, I know. So, yeah, and Chelsea Clinton isn't like that.
No, but the Trump kids are.
Yeah, no, the Trump kids are. So, you know, you have to take a look at that. Now, where were we?
And that's no. That's important because this gives grounding. This gives, whether it's Donald or Melania or whether it's Ivanka or Ivana or whether it's Marla or whether it's any of the Eric or any of the kids, these people actually have. Yes, they're up there. Yes. They all have, you know, homes and cars and beachfront properties and, you know, all over the world. But they started out, yes. Oh, well, they had silver spoons. Yes, they had silver spoons, but they learned to feed themselves with those silver spoons at a very early age.
That's right. Yes.
And this is important to keep in mind when we approach November. This is
Yes.
You know, yeah. Hillary and Chelsea, I mean, I understand why Chelsea's an only child, because if I were Bill, but yeah.
Well, you know the scuttlebutt on that. It's not Bill's child. And I have to sort of lean that way.
That's really Webb Hubble's child.
Because,
well, whether it's Webb Hubble's child or whether it's, what's his name, that went in, you know.
No, it's not his. Doesn't even look like her. He doesn't look like her. She doesn't look like him.
She doesn't look like him. But, you know, but the thing is, she does look like Hillary. You know, there's no debate about it.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, I mean...
So she really wasn't a cabbage basket.
She could eat an apple through a picket fence, you know. Yeah. So, you know. But the thing is, though, is whether whoever's kid it is, they only had the one. And I get it, you know. But she didn't ever do anything but smile. That's all she did. Mm-hmm. She never did anything but smile. Mm-hmm. And yes, she went through college and saying,
but the speech shows it. The speech at the DNC showed it.
Absolutely shows it. No, you're right. Absolutely illustrative. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes, that was, yes.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Then to turn around, you talk about speeches at the convention, and I know we hit this, but the Black Lives Matter crowd.
Yeah, I know.
Interrupting, you know, here's this poor sheriff, and she's...
I know. I think... oh, by the way, NBC News and SurveyMonkey did a poll and said that Hillary is now 8 points ahead of Donald Trump. And I don't believe it, number one. Number two, Reuters actually redid a poll which had Donald Trump ahead, and they changed it so it was Hillary.
Well, as of this morning, PolitiFact had them within margin of error.
Yeah. Everybody's saying, oh, Hillary's going to wind up killing them. Oh, yeah. You know, every time they open their mouths, more and more people decide to vote for Trump. So.
Oh, you know what? If it was up to me, and first of all.
It's up to me. Damn election would be tomorrow, but that's okay.
When we get. Well, yeah, but you know what? First of all, we do have a few weeks, and I think that's going to be where he starts climbing, you know, way up on top of her and leaves the rest behind. But I also, I also see, you know, people like Paul Ryan and the GOPE, but specifically Paul Ryan, shaking about their job.
Well,
you know, he's like, you know, the next Congress goes into effect, and he's going to be like, he's up against it.
There is a good chance he is going to lose his primary challenge.
That's true, but
his name is what? Paul Nealon. He is a businessman. Okay? He is a businessman. He's had his
own. If you want to coattail off Trump, a businessman is the way to do it.
Yes. Yeah. And he actually had a demonstration outside Paul Ryan's house and said, you have a fence around your house, but you won't put up a fence to protect the American people. Of course, none of the MSM picked it up, but...
No, they wouldn't because they'd be stuck. You know.
But they did that. But his numbers are starting to rise, and he's getting more. And I would love to see Paul Ryan because get out. Because, let's see, the Koch brothers had this big thing in which Paul Ryan came out and basically just tore Donald Trump up one end and down the other. And, of course, they all cheered for him and stuff like this.
And I'm tired of the Koch brothers.
Yeah, I know. They're nobody.
They give everybody as much money to the Dems as they do to the Republicans, and yet they're portrayed. And nobody brings up Soros, you know, who never gave a nickel to a Republican candidate.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I know.
You know, who worked for the Nazis, self-hating Jew that he is.
Yep, he is. He is.
Yeah, you know, but I think when we get to the next Congress, you know, Paul Ryan, should he survive the primary challenge? You know, I mean, he's out of work.
Well, exactly. Well, I really
and if the, are we going to lose the Senate?
Well,
no! You
know, no, I don't think so because, they're making that. They're saying that because... Well, let's see. All these challenges are coming against, let's see, McCain, Ryan. There's another one. I forget. Graham has just got reelected, so unfortunately he's still there.
Yeah, Graham is. Yeah, we're stuck with him. McConnell is.
McConnell.
Well, McConnell is not. Yeah, no, McConnell's not. No.
Well, wait a minute. Has it been? Yeah, I think this is. Yeah.
I think he's still got a couple of years left.
Yeah, 2020, yeah, it does have a couple of years.
Yeah.
2018, yeah. So the thing is, it's like, if we can get Paul Ryan and McCain out, this is baby steps. This is the change.
Well, maybe it's baby steps, but you know what? No, but McConnell in 2018 is not a guarantee.
Oh, gosh, no.
And Collins is in no position to say, well, you know what, I'm going to sit back on my laurels and coast through this. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I mean, she's under, I mean, if nothing else, she's going to be under threat from Paula Page.
Probably, yes.
And I don't see us losing the Senate in 16.
No.
I see us gaining, actually, House seats. Mm-hmm. And I also see the midterm election, provided, of course, that significant gains in employment and stuff that Trump has been promising.
Yes.
You know, and TPP repealed and NAFTA and GATT caught under control and NATO under control. I mean, if that happens, let me tell you something. The shining city on the hill is back, boys and girls.
Yes. Yes, I agree with you. And you were talking about half an hour ago about the fact that, you know, Donald Trump has been excoriated by, Obama, saying he's unqualified and stuff like that. They said the same thing about Ronald Reagan. Okay, hang on. I am not saying that he is like Ronald Reagan, not by a long shot. But they do have many of the same qualities as far as they love this country, they want the best for this country. This is just a different time in which we have to be more forceful.
Okay? They also both believe that the establishment government is the problem.
That's right. They do. They both believe that. Now, you know, Ronald Reagan, I remember they said, oh, he is going to lose by at least 10 points. Carter is going to be the president again. And, you know, didn't happen.
49 states later.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you know, instead of losing by 10 points, he went in a landslide, for heaven's sake. I don't see, if people are that fed up, I don't think they have any choice but to vote for Trump. Because you're going to get more of the same. Now, did you hear what DHS did? They just granted 8,000 Syrian quote-unquote refugees an amnesty, which allowed them to stay here longer than their green card.
Were they on ordinary green card? Were they on H-1B, H-2B?
Ordinary green card, it looks like. But it's like, you're kidding, right?
Because that's the whole big argument.
It grants them temporary amnesty. They can remain for 18 months longer, no matter what their legal status. That's basically it.
Well, there's a big... See, that's the thing.
They're going to try and get these people in.
They want everybody to have... And that's what they call comprehensive reform. We're going to give them a temporary stay of deportation, and et cetera, et cetera. We're going to give them a temporary thing. And anybody who's here overstaying a visa, we're going to give them a temporary extension. And everybody that's here, we're going to give them, you know, yes, we'll have to give them a driver's license so they won't be driving illegally, you know.
And motor voter kicks in.
And we'll have to give them, you know, a few months, a few weeks, maybe a year, year and a half. And then the next thing you know, it's over and they're already here. And how do you, now what do you do? You know, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, and I know it's an unpopular opinion, I say defund the sanctuary cities instantly. Bye.
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, yes.
And then you go in. You go into the sanctuary cities. What are the 26 of them?
I think something like that, yes.
And you turn around and you go into those sanctuary cities and you say, okay, you take ICE trucks and you go up and down the side streets and you find these people with the tattoos on their face.
Mm-hmm.
And you put them on a bus and you take them to TJ and you let them out. And then anybody trying to get across the border, that it's all tattooed like that.
It's shot.
Shot.
Yeah, shoot them.
And you know what we used to do in the you leave them in the wire.
You know as well as I do that person comes back into this country, some innocent person is going to be shot and killed or raped, maimed, whatever. Nice.
And Kate's Law, listen, Mr. O'Reilly, I'm sorry, I disagree. Kate's Law, my butt. Take them and throw them across the border. If they show back up at the border, shoot them.
This country, this government has to start defending its citizens.
But I think
the rightful citizens of this country.
But I think that would help. I think if we did just that,
You think a lot of people would be discouraged from coming over?
A lot of people would be like, hey, essay. You know, well, you want to go to America? No, hermano, I'm sorry.
Well, did you hear what they're doing now, too? They have stations right over the border where illegals can now go to.
Yes.
Why?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, those stations are being built now. And I'm thinking that President Trump could make good use of them.
Most definitely. Yes.
I saw a picture of somebody, I have no idea who he was, standing there with a brick in his hand saying, build the wall, you know.
Hey.
Kind of, and,
Paul Nealon?
It might have been. I'm not sure. That's why I didn't say a name. You know.
Because there was one with him with a brick.
Build the wall with a brick, right? Okay, fine. My thing is this.
Yeah?
For the amount of money that bricks cost, or cinder blocks cost, or poured concrete cost, you can buy a lot of barbed wire, and you can buy a lot of mines.
Well, I say do all of it. Because I'm sick and tired of Americans.
I go and put that on social media, and people get nuts. They lose their stinking minds.
Well, let me ask you a question. You have to ask these people, what if one of these people killed a loved one of yours? Would you still have the same opinion? Would you say, it's okay. I've got another kid.
What I don't understand is why is it okay for Mexico to have a wall on its southern border, but it's not okay for us to have a wall on our southern border?
I know.
I tell people all the time, why don't you go to Mexico?
Well, see, that's the problem, though. You have people here that are like, I'm outraged over what you said. Oh, you can't keep those people out. Okay, a lot of these people are committing crimes. A lot of these people are killing people for no reason at all. Do you want to sacrifice your child to this? Seriously, go. Hey.
Sacrifice your child on the altar of political correctness.
Yeah, go ahead. Are you still going to feel the same way if your daughter or son is killed, or your husband? Or if you're raped by this person who looking for something? Really, you're going to still love them? What are you, nuts?
How do you feel about these people like the poor Steinle family?
They'll probably come out and say, well, that's
they're in the wrong place at the wrong time. What do you mean? An American citizen was in the wrong place in their own country?
Yeah.
When somebody who doesn't belong here was there, someone who has been thrown out of here five times,
yes.
Was, you know, well, wait, how am I in the wrong place at the wrong time in my
country, yes,
house?
Exactly. Yes.
And somebody comes and sits in my living room, I turn around, we're done with our podcast, I roll out of here into my living room, there's somebody there who doesn't belong there, and shoots me in my own home. That's my fault?
I know that, but you see, I don't think that they...
I tell people all the time, take your locks off your doors. Screw you. Take your locks off your doors. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But
no, go ahead.
It's the same thing. Isn't it?
It is. And see, a lot of people think that, this country, this is your home, people. This country is your home. And you have to look upon the country as your home. If you don't want anybody else walking into your residence... Why would you want them coming in at the border? Why? I don't get it. Why do you... I don't know. You have to ask them then. Once they start getting on your case, you say, okay, which one of your kids do you want to sacrifice on the altar of political correctness? Seriously. I mean, you know...
And it's two things in a row. Two, and they're trite. They are. They're trite as hell. But two things in a row. If 11 million of them are going to help our economy so much, why didn't they help their own damn economy?
That's right. Exactly. Why didn't they help their own economy? And let me just say, the thing is that Donald Trump, I was watching a speech. He was in Pennsylvania last night, and I watched it, and part of it. And he said that he has a friend that builds factories. He's in the construction
business. He does.
And he said... He asked his friend, he said, so how's business? He goes, business is great. It's fantastic. He goes, what? He goes, yeah, I'm building all these new factories. He goes, where are you building them? He goes, I'm building them in Mexico.
Right.
And the friend was telling him, you cannot believe all the factories that are popping up in Mexico. Now, my question then is, why are all the Mexicans coming over here still if there's work down there? Wait a minute. What did I just say? I said the operative word. The operative word is work. They don't want to work. They just want to get things for free. They come over the border. They get
healthcare.
They get education. EBT. They get education. They get housing.
Power,
they
light,
get
car.
Housing. They get everything. Okay? And all they have to say is, I'm a refugee. My life's in danger. They don't have to give any basis for it. They don't have to give any proof. All they have to do is basically just say that. And what happens is they get all this stuff. Whereas all those factories that are being built down in Mexico need workers. So what they do is they get all this stuff. They cash all the money. They send a whole bunch of it down to Mexico.
Yep.
And it's like, so who the heck is working down there? But it turns out some people do work down there. So that's what Donald Trump said when he said they're not sending us their best and brightest.
Best and brightest, no.
No. Their best and brightest are staying down there and are working.
We're getting the dregs
of Mexican society up here.
Well, as I said, you know,
that's what we're getting.
If they couldn't help their own economy, why are they coming to ours and helping ours? They're not. That's obvious. That's obvious. And you know, you look at this and say, well, you know, look, come on, face it. The original, back in the 50s, you know, the Volkswagen Beetle was built in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those were all over? I mean, in the 50s and the 60s, I mean, you know, they were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Here in America, they were built in Mexico. That was back in the days before our Mercury was built in Canada. I mean, this is,
right?
You know, so why are we allowing, and it's the same thing when you just said, well, all I have to do is say I'm in fear for my life. Well, you know what? You might be in fear for your life if you live in a neighborhood where the drug dealers are. But you know what? If the factories are somewhere else, move to where somewhere else is and get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I'd rather come here and act like I'm looking for work picking grapes, and you can give me housing and, you know, a car and light and healthcare and education, even though I'm not going to work, you know.
So it's not the best and brightest coming up here, folks.
But it's the same thing with the whether it's their Syrian, whether they're Iraqi, whether they're Somali, whether they're Eritrean.
Exactly.
You know, they come here and say, well, we're in fear. Well, wait, you're a Muslim. Yeah. Then you're not in fear.
No.
Get out of the way. There's Christians
that are in fear.
And Jews that are in fear. And we're not letting them in. Why? Because you guys sucked up all the space on the boats.
Well, basically, you know, that's not what Obama wants. That's not what Merkel wants. That's not what I have no idea why the UK wants.
Merkel is different. Merkel is counting on us picking up the slack for her because she and Obama are buddies.
Well,
European Union is on fire.
European Union is on its way out. Let's hope
England is on fire, and England is starting to fight back. And France.
Let's hope. I really don't think that they will because there's too much stuff going on there. And you have Merkel who says she wants to bring more in. After all,
the problem is in France, they've got at least three new popular fronts.
Well, you know what? Why don't they just go into these enclaves and just clear it out, for God's sake?
I think they may, but they've got to build up slowly. I mean, you know, you can't just...
True.
You know, you don't learn to drive a Volkswagen and jump in an 18-wheeler and take off down the highway.
True.
You know, so, you know, but they're building their strength. And the president or premier or prime minister, I don't know what he's called, of the Czech Republic, has changed his mind on firearms, saying maybe it's time for our citizenry to arm themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep opening in England and in France and in Germany and Belgium. They keep raiding these mosques and finding caches of real live, honest-to-God military-grade weapons, not an AR-15 from, you know, Cabela's. But I mean, real live AK-47s, full automatic rock and roll, you know, AK-47s and RPG-7s and all this other stuff in mosques.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And, you know, so, you know, the French
people
are saying...
How many Catholic churches carry this stuff? How many Baptist churches, how many Hindu temples and Buddhist temples have all this stuff? See what I mean? They are not equal.
Oh, no, come on.
Statistically,
there's got to be at least one.
Where? Really?
I don't know. Somewhere no. There's got to be at least one. No?
No.
Probably not.
No. No. No, 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 no. It's the same. Yeah, no. Okay, I think we're going to have to start wrapping this up, guy, because we have been really just putting it out there. My gosh. Woo, we're hot today. We're hot.
We are.
We're hot.
Oh, my goodness. We're all over it.
We're all over it, yeah.
We're all over it. That's right. We're all over it.
And
like
we're solving the country's problems just one podcast at a time, aren't we? Yeah. And we are.
I just wish we were. I just wish we were. Yeah, you know something, sweetheart? If we could do these podcasts every day.
Yeah.
For 2 hours, if we'd change one never-Trump mind.
It's worth it. It is worth it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or one, oh, I'm with her mind.
Jeez Louise. I'm with her. Oh, my gosh. You want to be with her?
If we could change one mind, sweetheart, I'm telling you, I would do this every day. I would sit here on this with you all day, every day. And if we could turn around on the 9th of November and say, well, we brought one more vote to reality, I would sit here. I wouldn't eat. I wouldn't sleep. Sit here.
People have to realize that this is very, very important. This vote is very important. I think it's more important now more than ever. We know what Hillary Clinton has done in her past. We know the fact that she runs a lovely little pay-to-play movement under
little
the auspices.
Scheme, little scam, little organization.
The Clinton Foundation. We know that she's gotten $22 million from Muslim countries, Saudi Arabia, Qatar. I mean, come on, folks. I mean, you really think that she's going to be friendly to Americans? We would, if she is elected, we would be giving her a seat of power, but we're not giving her any money. So
we're going to trust this woman with the power of weapons that can annihilate life on the planet Earth, and you're not going to trust me with a rifle that holds 30 rounds?
Exactly. Well, plus the fact, you've heard the stories about her and her throwing things at Bill Clinton. I was like, oh my God.
Look.
And how nasty she was to people.
30 kilos of uranium. She says, oh, Donald Trump and his ties with Putin.
There were no ties with Putin. And you say Putin one more time, I'm going to smack you.
Putin.
Thank you. It's Putin.
Vladimir, Uncle Vlad. Commissar Putin.
Putin. Oh, my God.
Putin.
Okay.
I'm Putin. Boy.
It drives me nuts.
Tavarish.
It's not Putin. One of the guys in Boston does that too. Jeff Kuhner. I love you, Jeff. I really do. But the only thing that really bothers me is the way you pronounce his name. And it's not Putin. It's Putin.
Well, I say Lin Yin, right?
Please.
Don't I?
You say who?
I say Stalin, right?
Stalin.
Stalin. I say Lin Yin, right? Stalin. I say that,
Lenin,
right?
Yeah. Lenin. Yeah.
I get him right, right?
Yeah, at least you get him right.
And Trotsky, I get that right.
Trotsky,
and
yeah.
Marx, I get those.
Marx is German, for God's sake.
And
Khrushchev.
Grand Duchess Anastasia Nikolaeva. I get that right.
That's pretty good, yeah. Okay.
I do what I can, Tovarish. I do. I do.
Tovarisha. When you're talking to me, it's Tovarisha.
Oh, that's right. You're a girl. That's right.
Thank
I'm sorry.
You.
Yeah. Spetsnaz.
Tovarishka.
Spetsnaz, yeah. So they talk about Donald Trump shaking Putin's hand. Don't talk about the 30 kilograms of uranium.
Yes. I know.
That she put in her pocketbook and carried over there and handed him.
Basically, yeah. So, yeah, you know, this is the thing. So you have to really take a look, folks. If anybody there is just going to vote for Hillary because she's a woman, that's a very, very big mistake. Do you know anybody that listens to this who's going to vote for Hillary because she's a woman?
Oh, God, no. No,
okay,
no, no.
Thank you. And may I say thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Yes, but you know something? Listen, if you're going to vote for Hillary because she carries the same plumbing as you, they sell cream to make that feel better, you know. You can get it over the counter.
Oh, for God's sake, Lou.
Doctor.
No, but I'm just saying. It's, you know. Okay, folks, we're going to have to wrap this up, as I've said 10 minutes ago. Because
Well, that's because
on.
You got started correcting my
I'm
my,
sorry, your pronunciation.
My Soviet pronunciation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, okay, my pronunciation may go...
By the way, I would... Next podcast. I would like to delve a little bit more, since his name just keeps coming up, Putin. I would like to delve a little bit more into exactly what he is, who he is.
Their commissar.
Yes. And go into a little bit more what his plans are. We kind of know how his plans are, but how he's going to execute it. And why I believe that Donald Trump is going to be the absolute best foil for him, because Hillary, he can just walk all over. So next time, maybe we'll take a little bit of time. I would like to start focusing a little bit more on him. What do you say?
No, I'd like to do that, and I'd like to do that very, very soon. And I'd like to just sit here and foil you on this insight, the way you brought up when we had to deal with the assassination of so many police officers. I'd like you to bring that to our audience, because you have a knowledge of it that, you know, I mean, you know transcends anything. Okay. I can't even pronounce his name right, according to you, so, you know, but
No, but I just think it's important, because things are coming to a head. We have two helicopters, Russian helicopters, that were shot down in Syria. 9 soldiers are dead. Soviet soldiers or airmen are dead. And
didn't,
I can tell you right now.
Didn't they take out an aircraft, too?
Putin?
Didn't
I'm trying to remember. All I can say is right now, Putin is not a happy person. He's pissed. And he is going to be looking at revenge big. He's not going to let these people get away with it. Seriously, he's not, one way or another.
And what that will do to NATO, and what that will do to the rest of our allies,
I don't know. If
you know, this is not just throwing a pebble
no.
in a stream. This is throwing a rock in a lake.
Yeah, but yeah, we'll have to focus on it more next time. But yes, that is for hopefully next time, depending, of course, what comes up, because everything around the world is changing. I mean, you know, hour by hour, you never know what's going to happen, for heaven's sake.
Fortunately, we can do this stuff PRN now, as opposed to...
Every 2 weeks, yep. Yep, yep. Yep, exactly. So, Lou, it's been nice.
Oh,
it's been
God,
fun.
It's been a lot of fun. You
it's
know,
been
and
fun.
Again, once again, Aunt Lorenza...
rest in peace.
And you know, hey, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.